This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
So, had me check out a band I've never heard of called The Yachts.
Yeah.
So, how did you find this?
Okay. So, one of our huge comic book shops in our area, Third Eye Comics, the main guy, Steve, who owns the shop, always has like obscure punk music playing in the shop when you're browsing. And it was around Christmas time, a couple years ago. And the song that was playing in here was their Silver Bells cover. Okay. And I was like, hey, I can get with this. Like, Silver Bells, da-da-da. And I'm like, all right, this is definitely my style. And I went home and checked out the record. And some of these songs have been on my rotation because a lot of them are super short. They're not very long.
Boy, are they.
At all. And I love that.
There's some that are under a minute. Like, yeah. There's a lot under
and
a minute.
And I really love that. I don't know. This is not something that, like, I'm passionate about. So if you hate it, I'm not like, fuck, no, you've got to love the Yobs.
No, so I listened to this morning and... Yeah. While none of the songs I felt like, oop, gotta definitely get that on my yearly playlist or anything.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, this is punk in England in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
Like, this is exactly what that is.
If you want a Christmas album in that style, here it is. Like,
here
that's it. It's completely, it's not doing anything wrong. It's just, it's here.
So it's, the album is called Christmas Album. It's
yes.
by The Yobs, which is not a real band.
No.
It's the band The Boys with their name basically backwards.
Yes.
And
I don't know anything about The Boys.
I know nothing about The Boys. This album must have been somewhat influential, and we'll get into it because, well, we'll get to the track eventually. But there's a track that's been covered by a much more famous punk band.
Yes.
But first, I was like, what the hell is Rub-A-Dum-Dum, the opening track?
Yeah.
I hit play, and I did have to laugh when I realized that it is their version of Little Drummer Boy.
Yep.
And their version of the drum is a rub-a-dum-dum. But this is fine. Like, I think I was more into this in the beginning.
Yes.
And then there are
a
couple
build.
Yeah. There's a couple tracks in the middle that tapped me out. Then I got back in later on. I just also happened to notice, because I'm listening live on a Spotify, and it tells me that the Yobs have 426 monthly listeners.
Oh, good for them. I wonder if much like us, they spike in December.
Possibly.
They're waiting for that. They're waiting for that November-December Venmo check to come.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. We'll talk about money after we're done recording, because, man, did we hit the January slump in a big way.
Oh, no.
But this is fun. It is what it is. I feel like it never really gets where it's going.
I think we may have hit the January slump, but people are going to come back in a big, bad fucking way for the Yobs.
Yeah, the Yobs are going to change everything. So track two, I actually did
really
enjoy.
The Ballad of Warrington.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one. This was a fun original.
Yeah. And this is like just that yelling of the early 80s punk bands. All of these bands sound exactly the fucking same.
Especially the British ones.
Yes.
All of them sound the same.
The
line between like this, the Sex Pistols, and Exploit It is like non-existent. Yeah. They're all the same band.
Honestly, you could have put all of these songs on a compilation and told me they were all different bands from this era, and I would have believed you. I would have been like, yeah, sure. But this song gets me going. I'm with you.
I had fun with this one, and I have fun with track three, Another Christmas. Like, I like the bells, I like the guitar riff, I'm all in on Another Christmas.
I think this is one of my favorite songs on the album. The "Here it is, it's Christmas once again." I'm like, fuck yeah, dude, it is Christmas once again.
You know what, I said something, and it wasn't true. This is actually going to go, this is going to go on my Christmas year.
Another Christmas?
Yeah, Another Christmas
is great.
It's
a good jam.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. Oh, whoa.
But I can tell you what's not going to go on my yearly Christmas mix, and it's track four, Doggy.
Why not?
How much is that dog in the window? The one with the waggly tail.
This is the most obnoxious 40 seconds I've ever listened to. It is just the sound of a dog crying and them singing "How much is the doggy in the window" behind it. It is infuriating.
What was the thought process when they put this on there? I almost, when I first gave this album a listen, I was like, oh my God, were they doing the fucking barking jingle bells? Is this where that originated? Nope.
This feels like a hidden track. This should not be track four on an album.
Yeah, this feels like it should have been just connected to Another Christmas, which would have pissed me off, because then if I put Another Christmas on my playlist, this would have to play if I didn't just skip it. But yeah, it is just a group of dogs, a recording of a group of dogs crying and barking as they sing "How much is that doggy in the window?" And I guess that's their statement, is them being like, yeah, this is obnoxious. Fuck the people listening to this.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And it's not fixed by the longest song coming on next, which is the most drawn out, dull version of Jingle Bells I've ever listened to in my entire life. Almost 5 minutes. Almost five. There's 14 tracks on this album for a total of 33 minutes. And five of those 33 minutes is just dedicated to one cover of Jingle Bells.
I think the beginning is interesting. Like the dun, dun, dun. I'm like, what are they doing with this?
Yeah.
And you get 30 seconds in and you're like, okay, he starts doing Jingle Bells. And you're like, all right, where is this going?
And it goes nowhere.
It's nowhere.
It's just this. Like, I was like, I think I got 2 minutes into this one before I'm like, I'm going to skip ahead to see if anything else happens.
So this is a weird connection. This song, and I think I texted this to you a couple weeks ago. this song reminds me of Godsmack's Voodoo.
Yes.
Where that song, I don't know why that song got so big. That song is just one big build. Like, you're really waiting for that whole band to go, Voodoo, like fucking break into it. It's literally just.
But this also doesn't get us to the voodoo part. It's just if it was all built and no voodoo.
It's just the jingle bells.
But
jingle bells.
I will say that the suffering of Jingle Bells is made better because I've said it before. I have not met a version of Auld Lang Syne that I don't enjoy.
It's so good.
This is not my favorite version, but it's still good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is great.
I loved when... Now, I'm trying to watch the way I word this, because a lot of these bands, the bands that fall into this era, can also turn down the road of Nazism.
Well, we're about to get to the next track, because Hitler's on the cover of this album. Now, they're pointing a gun at him, but...
So. Yes. And I did have to take a second because I was a little bit distracted when we were recording our last episode because when I was trying to pull up the wiki page for this band, one of their album art singles came up and it was of like a Nazi general jacket. And I almost like did a little bit more research because, again, you and I are coming into this knowing very little about this English punk band. So I was like... Oh my God, are we going to have to veto this? Because I don't think we could. I'm not going to sit here and talk for 14 minutes about a band.
That's just Nazis.
Straight up Christmas Nazis. Like. So I, but I loved when these, my point is, I loved when these punk bands like incorporated like that drumline type drum that would be used like in like a marching band and stuff. Always loved when they did that. I think they do that at the beginning of this Auld Lang Syne. Great cover.
Yeah, and Dylan, since you're talking about Nazis anyway, we jump into Silent Night, which starts with some uncomfortable sounds. Including, I believe, a recording of Hitler talking to applause before it goes into the German version of Silent Night.
What? Not was great. What? Why?
Edgelord stuff, man. Edgelord's not new. That was 80s punk, was Edgelord.
That's true.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey...
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie... Let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and the practical effects. And also the male gaze?
My gaze at the males.
Hi-o! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
But let's just move right past this into Silver Bells, the song that made this all possible.
Yeah!
Silver Bells. Oh, Silver Bells.
I've heard this cover in public before as well. I think this is the song that has kind of branched over, not necessarily mainstream, but I think this has been on like punk Christmas albums before.
I'm sure.
I've heard this cover before discovering this album. And yes, this is the song that made me look this record up. And it sounds the same as all the other Christmas covers on this album. And I like them. So
Well, here was the biggest discovery for me, was finding out that C-H-R-I-S-T-M-A-S wasn't a Vandals original, but a cover of this song by the Yobs.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. Now I understand why he sings in that faux English accent when he does this song.
Yeah, it's such a good jam, though. I love how short it is.
It's so vulgar. It is such a vulgar song.
I don't know, man. It's there's something about that weird fucking early 80s English yell that I'm like, yeah, I'm with you, man. I don't know what you're shouting about.
Christmas does make me fucking sick.
Yeah. Yeah, man. The man's keeping me down. Fuck Christmas, man.
Which then their original song spelling out the word Christmas in all of the disgusting sexual ways that it makes them angry.
Yes.
Goes right into this very quick cover of Gloria.
Yes.
Which is great. I mean, this is a song that I feel like was designed to be written, played as a punk song.
Yeah.
I still prefer the Reliant K version of this, obviously.
Yeah. But
that glow, like, it's great.
So a fucking jam. And then fuck 12 Days of Christmas.
Hold on a second. Let me pull up, because I listened to this whole damn thing, but I forgot to look up what the actual words are, because I can't understand half the things that they're saying. So.
I just listened to the first one. God, you have no idea what he is saying.
All right, so here's, I just pulled up the lyrics. So the full 12 are.
Yes.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 smiley cunts.
Sweet.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11 buggered ends, 10 turd burgers, 9 ways of wanking, 8 posing paunches, 7 strap-on dildos, 7 soapy gassets, 5 fucking whores, 1, 2, 3, 4 urine samples, 3 rubber johnnies, 2 blow-up dolls, and a vibrator with a battery.
So I think I'm going to add this to my school appropriate Christmas playlist.
Yeah, I think it's time
to play in my classroom.
The kids got to learn.
This is your 16-year-old brother or 15-year-old brother writing a Christmas album.
Yeah.
Like that's all this is. Like,
it's so, and I think that this hits, I think it starts well.
Yes.
Has a bit of a lull in the doggy in the window.
Yep.
Into Jingle Bells, finds a footing again in the middle from like Auld Lang Syne into Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it kind of fizzes out towards the end, because like this minute version of White Christmas that's like kind of reggae and ska-ish.
Yeah.
I've just heard so many better bands do White Christmas in this exact style that I'm underwhelmed by it. And it's so short. Then we get into We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
Which is also short.
It's short. I like this as like a weird, like, this almost feels like a Vampire Christmas. Weekend.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
But then
we wish you.
I hate how this album ends. It is, they are channeling, they do May God, the Good Lord Bless and Keep You. And they're doing exactly how like Sid Vicious sings My Way. And I'm annoyed by My Way by Sid Vicious just as much as this, where it's like, the bit doesn't need to go 2.5 minutes.
No, no, like, no, 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 no.
Like... May the good Lord bless you.
Like, it's...
No.
It's... Like, I think the Vandals did it better. Again, we got to do the Vandals Oi to the World one of these days.
Fuck yeah, that album's a great record.
But like,
that is an amazing album.
You know, they did like Here I Am, Lord, and they made, yeah. You know, the age old thing of like punk bands taking religious songs and making them super obnoxious is like,
yeah.
Been around since the Sex Pistols, clearly.
Yep.
But like, I like the way that they do it, where it's like, we're just going to sing this in the most dorky voice, but yeah. It's still like musically this like poppy good. Ska punk song, this thing where it's like, we're just gonna play it slow and we're gonna make fun of how prim and proper it is by singing off key. It's like,
yep.
It's just like, I get it, but the joke, My Way doesn't need to be 4 minutes long for Sid Vicious. No. This doesn't need to be 2.5 minutes long. Like, mm-hmm. it just like hits a point where I'm like, I can't deal with this British UK punk is a very tough pill to swallow sometimes for me, because yeah. it is so much more antagonistic than American punk was.
Yes.
Like, yes. Like in every facet. And like, the only thing that's more antagonistic and obnoxious to me than 70s and early 80s UK punk are the American bands trying to ape the UK
yeah.
punk sound. Like, those were even worse, but
yeah.
It's just, it's not for me. I appreciate it. And I would say, like, I mean, 14 tracks, I probably really enjoyed 8 of those 14 tracks. Like, there's more good than bad here.
Yeah.
It's just that the bad is, like, it's not like, oh, really I don't like, bad. It's like, no, this is really fucking bad.
I'm not going to listen to this. So we've been covering Christmas albums for a while now.
Yeah.
And I think I would argue, because I feel like we land on the same conclusion every single time. Maybe Christmas albums shouldn't be a thing. I think we should just stop at like 6 songs.
Yeah.
Like, I think every time we listen to Christmas.
Think about that. Even when we did like the Aquabats Christmas EP, there were still like 2 songs that were like, I don't know about this.
Maybe that is our new goal, is we need to find the perfect Christmas album. I think we need to do like a tournament and just lay out what songs we like on each album and see which one has the most.
Give me a second, buddy. I'm looking up something.
Okay.
I made a decision the other day.
Yeah.
Where I was like, you know what? There are certain albums that are Christmas albums that, fuck it, I like them all year round. Why am I not listening to them all year round?
Okay.
Like, I categorize, and my brain is very weird, so I'm not going to get into all the details of how I do things.
Same.
But I'm going to read you the handful of albums that I decided were good enough Christmas albums that I don't mind if I listen to them all year round. And it's not a particularly long list, but it was the Santa Claus's albums. They're not perfect, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
The Bare Naked Ladies, Bare Naked for Christmas. Stay tuned, we're going to be covering that really soon.
Mm-hmm.
Both of the Hanson Christmas albums. All 5 of the Happy Christmases. The Reliant K Christmas album. The Sia Christmas album. The NSYNC Christmas album, the Vandals Oi to the World, and the only other one, which we definitely need to cover, and I do think that this is a pretty flawless Christmas album, the first Trans-Siberian Orchestra Christmas album.
Okay, yeah. I can
the Christmas Eve and Other Stories, that mm-hmm. album is flawless to me.
Yeah.
From front to back, that is a perfect album. But you are right. And that's heavy on the originals. Like, that is like a heavy original concept album. As is the Vandals. I almost feel like the more original songs actually hold up better, because like every Christmas cover you're comparing to 1,000 other Christmas covers that you've heard in your life. But
but you're also you're running the risk of having a bad original Christmas song. Like, feel like,
and those
that's
are plenty
even
too.
Yeah, I feel like that's even more of a risk than giving a mediocre cover. Like,
yeah.
Because, I mean, at least with mediocre covers, you and I will sit here and go, I like every version of this song. Not my favorite, but I like this song in general. Where some of the originals, you're like, oh, come on. Like, fuck, man, this is awful.
Yeah, what is happening? Why are you doing this?
Yeah, but there's got to be one out there. There's well, To you, there's plenty out there that you
to
like
me, there's about
most
10.
Of the thing. Yeah,
there's about 10. I don't think I can. There's a lot of nostalgia happening there.
Yeah, yeah.
I
for
don't
sure.
think that there's a new Christmas album that someone's going to play me that I'm just like, oh, they cracked the code. We haven't been able to do it for 100 years, but fucking, I don't know, the boy genius cracked the code and they wrote the the first perfect Christmas album.
Sia's close. Even then, I feel like we bitched and moaned towards the second half of that album.
The only problem with that second half of the album is that it's not. I think the problem with
the first half.
Well, no. Here's what I'll say. The problem with the Sia Christmas album, why I think it's a perfect listen all year round Christmas album, is that the second half is good songs that don't put me in the Christmas spirit.
Yes, that have nothing to do with Christmas. Yeah.
They're like just these piano ballads that are beautiful, but it's like not what I want to listen to when I'm driving around in the snow looking at Christmas lights.
Yeah.
So like,
I will say like some of those songs, and honestly, some different songs on other Christmas albums.
And that's one where there's not a single cover to be found on that album. That is 10 original songs.
Yeah. I do love, except for Round and Round. Which is the I think
that's
was that on the deluxe?
That's on your deluxe. I don't
it's
have
it. It's so
deluxe.
Funny to me that like that I heard that song the other day in some ad and I'm like, no, this is a Christmas song now.
God
we
damn
can't
it,
do
no.
this. But like I'm at a point I can't do what you do right now because I've done that before and it makes the songs not as special to me to listen to.
Well, I haven't done it yet. I've just put them in a category of I don't mind if I hear these albums.
Okay. All right. I do want to warn you that does happen. You will get to a point where you're like, I don't want to listen to this right now because I've just listened to it too much at this point.
All right. I'll be prepared.
Yeah.
Be prepared. Save some of it.
Great song.
Better than
most of the Yobs album.
Well,
Yobs Christmas.
Well, Dylan, I want to spend another Christmas 365 with you.
Oh, Matt, I wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yay!
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.